The Kratom Chronicles. Oh yeah. Buckle your seatbelts and put the kids to bed, cause this right here's the best show on the interweb. The Kratom Chronicles, hosted by Nui, dirty these productions for the Kratom community. The Kratom Chronicles. Oh yeah. The Kratom Chronicles. I don't like me no bullshit. I think I have a disease. Every time they're bullshitting me, it brings me to my knees. Oh, Dewey tells it how it is, at least how he sees. Speaks from his soul on this awesome show with no apologies. Oh yeah, ain't no subject too taboo. Dewey tackles them all on a Kratom Chronicles. The Kratom Chronicles. Oh yeah, set your ass down, cause the planet's alive. It's 7 o'clock p.m. Mountain Time on the Kratom Chronicles.
What is going on, everybody? How are you guys tonight? This is actually a Dirty Deeds episode because it's really not going to be geared towards Kratom, but I do want to talk about Kratom with Adam a little bit on this. But like I said, this is more going to be a Dirty Deeds podcast. It's more going to be about Adam, what's going on with Adam right now. We only have an hour with him. If we can take it longer than that, we will. It's just going to be up to Adam. I know, I believe it's his PR guy said we got an hour down. So I'm going to try to get as much knocked out as I can in 1 hour. So I don't know what your guys' intentions are on this show, but this is really going to be more about Adam and libertarianism and what's going on with Adam and everything else for that matter. So I hope you guys enjoy the show. Also, if you guys like what we're doing, make sure you guys go down and click the link below. There's a Patreon link, and you guys can become a Patreon member and get exclusive access. We just uploaded Dirty Deeds podcast episode 33, which is a Dirty Deeds. Oh, you showed up on, you got to learn how to be on time.
4 minutes, 4 minutes, dude.
Dirty Deeds episode 33. So if you guys, that's a Patreon only exclusive, so check that out. Also, this show is brought to you by flotationlocations.com. And this is also brought to you by Otis Botanicals. Go to otiskratom.com. Use our code Dirty Deeds, save yourself 10%. Also, I want a big shout out to our Patreon members, Denise, Diamond Dave, So Mellow, Camp. Who else is our Patreon members? Michael Danubio, Christopher Organic Botanicals. I know I'm forgetting somebody, but shout out to all you guys for being a Patreon subscribers, and I hope you guys enjoyed episode 33. What up, Tim? What up, everybody in the chat room? I'm going to let the chat room fill up just a little minute. You guys, I'm just going to let you guys talk for a second. If you guys have any questions you guys want me to ask Adam, put them in the chat room, and I'll ask him as time permits. Yeah. What's up, dude?
Hey.
Should have been. I had to start it, dude. I had to get talking.
No,
because we only got a minute.
I was looking right when I got off the freeway. I was like, oh,
okay,
shit.
So I've got these questions here that I want to ask Adam. So I'll ask a majority of the questions. And then just, I want to kind of keep the dialogue between me and him. And then you jump in on the end. That's where I want you to come in.
Of course. Well, I'll
10-4.
I'm more or less here to learn some things.
I just don't want to cut him off because Adam's
I'm
a talker.
Not
you know what I'm saying?
Not doing that.
So I just watched a debate with him March 20th. Did you see his debate at all?
Mm-mm.
Fucking school with the guy.
Did he?
Yeah. Big shout out to him, dude. Also, you guys, make sure you follow us on Twitter. Follow Ben at
The Other Podcast, THA.
And follow me at Dirty D Podcast on Twitter. I'm on there all the time. I'm super active. Also, I wanted to let you guys know I got Brian Ellison coming on the podcast. If you guys don't know who he is, you can check him out on Twitter at Brian for Senate on Twitter. He is running for Michigan Senator. He's also a libertarian. He's agreed to come on the show, so totally looking forward to that. That guy, a lot of people think he's crazy, but I don't think he is. The guy wants to – he's trying to raise some money to give some homeless people some shotguns. So we're going to bring him on the – way nice guy. So yeah, yeah, we'll just leave it at that. So we'll talk to him about that. Yeah, I'm going to give Adam a call right now and just get this going. It's 6 o'clock. I text him.
Yeah, see, I am on time, dude.
I had to get it going because I had to get this out before we... He says he's ready to rock and roll, and let's just get this going.
Okay, cool. Hey,
that's fine. Just don't interrupt.
Hey, what's up, Billy?
How you doing, Adam? How are you today?
Excellent. Yourself?
You know what? Just give yourself your introduction so everybody knows who you are.
All right.
Yeah, we're live, buddy.
You never know on hot mic scenarios, but you know, I never say anything that I can't stand behind on or off the record anyway, so I don't have a problem with that. But thanks so much for the opportunity. Really quick run. I grew up to my mom vaguely liberal, my dad vaguely conservative, and both of them were very much anti-authoritarian. And so when, it didn't stop me from enlisting in the Marine Corps when I was 17. I wanted to be a reservist while I went through college and then be an officer afterwards. But I volunteered to go to Iraq and with the civil affairs team. And that was, after realizing what had happened and what I was a part of, I did not want to continue with the military. And so I got out and went to DC to get a master's in political management at George Washington University. And while I was there, I ran away with the circus, also known as Fallenism, with the Iraq Veterans Against the War. And then I was endorsed by Ron Paul, running for Congress in 2010. I went back to my home state of New Mexico, and I couldn't show up when the race was over. So I got a radio show, and that was the start of Adam versus the Man on AM 1550 KIVA, more positive five radio outlook. And that got picked up as a TV show right before I was about to get canceled for not selling ads. I didn't want to sell ads. I just want to talk about freedom. Why would I sell radio ads? That sounds boring. So I didn't sell ads, but I had a lot of fun with that. And I was then on television with the Russians on Russia Today out of Washington, D.C. for 4 months before I was canceled for political reasons. I was being as critical of the Russian government as the American government. I think at some point, you know, I have no regrets about any of that in there. It was a great opportunity. I think of, Russia Today is the Russian government's propaganda efforts. It's the Russian government poking the American government in the eye. And for whatever, short period of time, I was able to be a part of it. I was happy to be a part of it. And I think at some point, the people behind the network realized, they were like, let's look at this Adam guy again. He's not just anti-American government, he's against the idea of government, and we're a state-sponsored media outlet, right? Okay, well, we can't be paying for this. You got to cut them loose, or just as I would have been naturally. And I focused on my podcast and my YouTube channel after that. Got my YouTube channel up to 70 million views. And I got to say, I was censored on YouTube before it was cool. You see all these cool kids doing it now, man, on YouTube going back in 2013. And we can get into that if you want to, like, geek out on that inside stuff. But
I want to hit you up about Steemit. I do want to talk to you about Steemit.
Oh, yeah.
So,
oh yeah, we got to get into steaming. Yeah, for sure. We'll come back to that.
Okay.
So in 2013, I went to jail for 4 months for loading a shotgun in the ironically named Freedom Plaza in Washington, D.C., two blocks from the White House. And while I was in jail, people sent me all the best libertarian man. And I decided that I would become the best ripoff artist the freedom movement has ever seen. And I combined all of their greatest features. Ultimate Red Pill book, and that's been the focus of my activism since then until relatively recently. But if you count this one as a book tour and to us, I've done now 4 national tours promoting freedom, and I am now running for president for the Libertarian Party nomination on the platform of the peaceful, orderly, responsible dissolution of the entire United States federal government.
Perfect. Hey, where can people go to support your campaign fund?
Well, my main website is the easy one to remember. It's thefreedomline.com, thefreedomline.com. It's there for free, but you can also find my website, cokishforpresident.com. If you click on platform there, you can see at least in writing the commitment that I've made that this, you know, what this campaign is really all about. And, you know, anytime someone says, are you running for president, it makes me somewhat uncomfortable. And, you know, I have to really point out how I feel about this, because there's nothing more anti-freedom you can say than I want to be president of the United States. I want to be in charge of this giant, violent, unethical, illegitimate racket that's based on violence. No, of course not. So I always have to point out that I am more than running for president. I am turning the American presidential election into a referendum on whether or not the federal government should be allowed to exist at all. And when the American people realize that we don't have to be united under one government to be united in American values, that we don't need this government for sure, we are too good for this government, then it should be an easy conclusion for us to come to and a clear consensus in this country. I'm doing it. Really, the only thing I would do as president is sign one executive order. And with this executive order, we declare the federal government of no authority. We declare it bankrupt. And I resign from being president to be custodian of the federal government. Voluntarius is an ethical in the ethical market. If I didn't have a legitimate role here that would be justified outside of government, I wouldn't be doing this. But I'm and the agent. So I resigned to become, because the only authority that I would have would be in carrying out this relatively preordained process. It would be laid out in as much detail as possible in the executive order. So the American people will know exactly what they are voting for, and it's not for me to be president.
Right. And just so everybody knows, the very first time I also linked your the Freedom Line down below, you guys. So if you guys want to go check that out, there's a link and check out his website. But I first actually watched Adam when he was on Joe Rogan. I believe it's at, what episode is that? 283, I think. I can't remember, but I first watched
you. Taking it way back.
Yeah, it was way back, and I watched you then. And the first thing that really caught my attention about you was you were in the military, and then obviously now you're not, and you think we ought to bring our veterans home, but you actually said that you wanted to go back in the military because you felt like you didn't bleed enough for your country. And then you started talking about how that they get that mindset built into the military. And I thought, wow, that's where you grabbed my attention. Later on, American Kratom Association short documentary with one of my guests that's been on here named Kenny Woot. And mm-hmm. I found out that you mm-hmm. supported Kratom. And I thought, well, man, I can really back this guy. Because libertarianism to me, I mean, when I think of it, I mean, I'm a libertarian. And the easiest way I can describe it is everyone has the right to absolute freedom and live their lives as they see fit. And
that's one way, you know. And I'm really glad you mentioned Kratom and libertarianism together, because libertarianism is the belief that you have the right to live in whatever manner you like, as long as you're not forcing yourself on anybody else or violating their right to live however they want. A libertarian is someone who opposes the use of force in any form to achieve social and political goals. So when it comes to Kratom, I should not have been surprised, you know, that Kratom came up on the federal radar for persecution and for limiting access. But, you know, you look at like the war on drugs right now, we are at the end of the beginning of the end of the war on drugs I'm in Colorado right now, and they're actually considering legalizing mushrooms here. You know, so it seems like this crazy step backwards that something as mild and positive as Kratom would be made illegal in any way whatsoever. But then you think about one of its most powerful effects is you know, being able to limit dependence on opioids, which so many government sponsors in the pharmaceutical industry have an interest in people continuing to abuse. Then it kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to, you know, pretend that I'm like, I mean, I use Kratom. I love it. I don't want to pretend that I'm any kind of, you know, expert or activist on behalf of Kratom. But according to, you know, libertarianism, according to ethics, according to common sense, according to just being a decent freaking human being, you have to respect an individual's right to decide what they put in their own body. And that's why it just seems absolutely insane that Kratom is becoming an issue with government at all.
Correct. And I mean, I'll be honest with you, it saved my life and a lot of people's lives. And the issue I also have is the FDA is intrusive for what they, you know, the FDA is intrusive on what they can and can't do. And they're infringing on my right to put whatever I want in my own body. And so at that point, I was like, I am never clinging on to a conservative or a Democrat. And I went libertarian and I've been supportive ever since. So, you know, I truly hope you win this race. I mean, I think people need to back you, you know, but I don't think people understand what libertarian is. I really don't. So
yeah, and you know what, it's tempting strategically to say, well, we have to get everybody to understand this philosophy because it's such a simple ethical philosophy, you know, based on self-ownership. You own yourself. Therefore, we have ethics and morals based on it's wrong to violate somebody else's self-ownership. So, and then you want to say, well, how do you apply that to government? And when you understand that government is a territorial monopoly on the initiation of force, that it is fundamentally unethical and illegitimate, then you go, oh, well, I guess the implication of that is we need to get rid of government. We need to evolve past it as soon as possible. And, you know, a lot of people will get into this semantically, but like, well, without government, what about this or what about that? And it's like, look, when we say government, we understand that we're talking about the violent monopoly that is government. And all we're saying is that we can do better without government is to say that we can do things better peacefully, nonviolently. So to say that we want no government isn't really accurate so much as to say that we want, if there is going to be anything at all called government, it has to be voluntary. It has to be ethical. And then it's going to be way more in line with people's needs.
What about Night Watchman state? What's your opinion on the Night Watchman state?
I think that's a very dangerous concept that we're gonna get rid of government doing everything except the most important stuff. And it's like, no, government is an evil, you know, violent racket. We should trust at least with those important things of, you know, police and safety services and dispute resolution and common defense. You know, those are the things that result in the greatest offenses to freedom. Those are the things that result in the drug war and the police state and the foreign wars and the militarization and the surveillance state. So, you know, absolutely not. I think the idea of the Night Watchman state is like, you know, let's get rid of all the good stuff about government and keep all the really terrible stuff.
Yeah. And so if you guys don't know what Night Watchman state is, it's basically saying that the federal government will be a minimum, but they will supply a military, a police force, and a court system. Isn't that correct? I think that's
right. Right. Well, I think that's how most people define it.
Yeah.
And the problem with that is obviously that's kind of how we got to the point where we're at today. You give the government the power to control the most important stuff, then you have no check on that power when they're going to say, well, you know, in order to maintain military readiness, we really need a socialized healthcare system. You know, well, in order to maintain these systems, we need to have some kind of welfare. We need to have, well, of course, then we need to have regulations on businesses. And then, we're not really infringing on your rights. We're just making certain drugs illegal because they might be bad for you.
Right.
You know, it's not that it's a slippery slope, but that those things are directly connected. I mean, the reason that governments want control over the violent functions is that it allows them to force all the other stuff on you.
Yeah, and I agree with that 100%. I think it's so asinine and fucked up for somebody to, tell us how we should live. I totally am against that. But I want everybody that's watching right now, I want you to explain what you're running on your campaign, basically the dissolution of the United States federal government and the sovereign nations. Break it down for them so they understand it.
Sure, yes. So what we're doing is dissolving the federal government in a peaceful, orderly, responsible manner. Right now, the campaign platform exists in a 5-paragraph version on our website, kokeshforpresident.com/platform. And I really encourage everybody to check that out. The next phase is going to be to write it out as a 100-page book. And then once we've got that, we take a team of lawyers and policy experts and lock them in a room for a couple of months and say, turn this into a comprehensive, legally binding document that I can go in and sign on day one. So in terms of the policy that comes out of this, like I said, the federal government is immediately declared of no authority and bankrupt. So no federal laws are enforced. I'm going in as a bankruptcy agent. So my responsibility is to pay back the creditors of the American government. And that's not the foreign banks and foreign governments and foreign corporations who hold the paper debt. No, we are disowning that debt is illegitimate. And frankly, it's intergenerational child abuse to force your kids to pay for stuff that they never had a say in. So that debt immediately goes away. The next thing is, how do we pay back the true creditors of the American federal government? And that's the American people. So when I say dissolve in a peaceful, orderly, responsible manner, the objective is to leave us with 50 independent states, 5 autonomous territories, and up to 562 sovereign native nations. Now, how we achieve that agency by agency is something that I think is what you're getting at here. And when it comes to most federal agencies like the IRS, the Department of Education, the Department of Energy, Commerce, Agriculture, things like that, they don't really do anything except enforce regulations, pass down edicts from Washington. So most of them can just go away. With the executive order, 95% of federal personnel are going to be fired right then and there. And in most of these agencies, all we need is a skeleton crew to handle the physical properties, which will probably get consolidated under one, namely probably the Defense Department, just because it has the most physical property to be liquidated. And then the records have to be handled properly. One of the nice things about this platform is that we get to release all of the records, everything from the Defense Department in DARPA, all the secrets, all the patents, all the hidden technologies, all of that gets, all the potential conspiracies, all the records are going to be available online. But there is one major caveat to that, which is that we have to redact private personal information that shouldn't be made public. So there is going to be a process. Call me a statist if you will, but I want to see one agency, probably the Library of Congress, become the call of the statist. So it would all go to one place. And when that's done, the agency is done. Done. Doesn't exist anymore. IRS gone. All those other three-letter agencies gone. Now, for the ones that have a legitimate purpose that should be localized to the states, for example, like the Department of Transportation, it's pretty easy. It just gets cut up into 50 pieces, and they get assigned to the existing state departments of transportation. Every state government already has a Department of Transportation or something to that effect by a slightly different name. So to say, we're going to take those resources from the federal Department of Transportation in those states, hand them off to the DOTs in each state. Pretty simple. Now, for some things, it gets a little trickier, like the VA, right? There's no reason the VA shouldn't exist. it just can't be funded by taxes anymore. And as a veteran, I'm especially bothered by the fact that in this country, there are at least 20 veterans committing suicide every single day. So what I'd like to see happen is we privatize the VA and give every single veteran in America one ownership voting share so they can vote on the blockchain, and veterans will now control the VA top to bottom. Give it a small endowment, get a reset on the drug war. I guarantee you're not going to have 20 veteran suicides a day. So after all that, those sort of bigger procedural things and those elements that need to be handled, spun off in a certain way, the remainder of the funds that we get from liquidating the federal government go to Social Security. And if there's a ton that's left over, we have more than enough to fund it for 30 years. Then we'll probably fund Medicare, Medicaid, SCHIP, these broader social programs that we know distribute the wealth. And I wouldn't say redistribute, except in the sense of returning stolen goods as broadly as possible to the American people. So then the last big piece of this is the Department of Defense, right?
Yeah.
And it's actually relatively simple, at least conceptually, with that in order with the end goal of no federal government. And that is, except for a skeleton crew at every base to handle the records and to handle selling those properties abroad. So the federal government first will liquidate all of its foreign properties. And then the troops, you know, all being home within the United States, we look at the military and we separate the elements that are legitimately defensive versus those that have only offensive purposes. Where that line is drawn, you know, we're going to have to figure out in detail, but roughly speaking, nuclear weapons do not qualify. Nuclear submarines do not qualify. Intercontinental ballistic missiles do not qualify. Long-range bombers do not qualify. Long-range drones that kill wedding parties do not qualify. And so all of those types of weapons will get liquidated, will de-weaponize and liquidated for industrial purposes and go into that general fund to pay back the American people. Then the remaining military resources, things that are legitimately defensive, like small arms, individual personnel, tanks, missile defense, things like that, those will get apportioned among the states.
Okay, that makes sense.
How long do you think that would take to facilitate?
I could have it done by next Friday. Not question. And a lot of people, and it is really important to point out that most of the important stuff happens on day one. Most of the important stuff happens with the signing of this executive order, that the federal government is of no authority. 90%+ of the personnel go home right away, that sort of thing. But there is an administrative process for this that is going to take several years. Obviously, the start of the military process is for one that, you know, might take a decade to really, truly, fully complete. De-weaponizing the nuclear arsenal is a major, major process. It is actually going to take significant effort in order to achieve that. So there's the immediate effect of federal government, no authority, doesn't exist anymore except as a custodial institution. And then there's the, you know, 2 or 3 year phase where most of the logistics are going to be able to happen, where most things are localized to the states. Even most of the military personnel at that point would be localized to the states, taken over by the National Guard units, the already existing institutions. And then, you know, the processing of the records, it could be very quick. The data is handed over to the Library of Congress that they have, and a little review. The VA going, that'll last indefinitely. I mean, as long as the veterans are able to keep it going with the funds allocated, or as long as they want to keep it going, or perhaps, you know, it continues as a privately funded institution at that point. Social Security, like I said, I think we want to fund it for at least 30 years. And if we have the funds available to do that, we will. And then, you know, all the other things would be on the same timeline as that. So there's the day one benefits. There's the, you know, year, you know, 2 or 3 year phase and all the benefits that comes from that. And then there's a long tail to some of the smaller elements of this process.
Yeah, it's about cutting that ribbon and getting it going. If that makes sense.
Say it again?
It's about cutting that ribbon and getting it going.
Yeah, essentially.
Okay.
So with you real fast. We're already starting to see this. So I don't know. I lived in Denver, Colorado. So I'm all aware about, you know, legalization of cannabis over there and other things. And we have this crazy dude in the White House, or works for the White House, and his name is Jeff Sessions. Okay. And this dude, I'm sure you've heard of him, Adam, but he's fucking psychotic. And this guy wants to not only lock people up for doing any type of drug, but he wants to also put them on death row. So I'm not sure if you're aware of that, but that's been happening. And it's very insane to me that the states have already gone to the federal government and said, we don't give a shit about your laws. We're legalizing cannabis. You've seen half the United States do that now. Utah actually just barely legalized medical marijuana if you have less than 6 months to live. But it's going to go to recreational just like every other state is. But it's insane to me that this on the state level, it's legal. But on the federal level, it's illegal. So now we have our federal government and our states saying back and forth they're fighting. And it's just a disarray of bullshit. And, you know, I for one, hate it. I don't think that I should be told how to live my life. And so, but I also think the states are in the right. I don't think the federal government has the right to tell us to operate.
No, I mean, of course not. I'm equally in the federal government at this point, that they're taking this major step backwards, that they really think they can slow down the end of the war on drug users in such a way. And it is disturbing. But you ask the question in terms of, does the federal government have the right to tell the states? Well, I mean, neither of these things exist, first of all. Like, the state and the federal government, they're both just constructs. They're ideas. They're a series of ideas in our heads. And none of them have rights. You know, states' rights is not a thing. Individual human rights are a thing. States don't have rights. Only people have rights. So, of course, the federal government doesn't have a right to exist in the first place. It's a fun. So does it ever, you say, does the federal government have a right to do this or that? Well, if you don't have a right to exist, you don't have a right to do anything. It's all illegitimate. And to see that they're still just keeping up the charade is insane. I don't think they're actually pushing for the death penalty for drug dealers. I mean, if they're actually pushing for it, the purpose is not to get drug dealers subject to the death penalty, because it would be such a mind would be saying that it's fighting this tide of rising awareness around the drug war, that it shouldn't be allowed to continue anymore. I mean, it's got to be that they're just trying to slow things down a little bit, or they're just grandstanding, or, you know, they're trying to make government more relevant. Now, one thing Donald Trump is very good at is the manipulation of the political theater. And you got to hand it to him for being able to control and manipulate the conversation the way that he has. And I think that's more what this play is. It's more about the distraction and fighting the propaganda of the drug war than actually seeking the death penalty for drug dealers. So I'm not worried about that. I mean, really, there are two big things that, like, in terms of irrefutable social technological developments that just give me so much faith in, you know, government's days being numbered here. And one is the end of the drug war. Just the idea that the marijuana part of the drug racket is going away from government is just huge. You know, if marijuana was legalized in every state tomorrow, and it was just the feds doing their thing, even then they wouldn't be able to. And this huge chunk of the government racket will have fallen out from underneath them, just gone. And then really not just, they're not reversible. These are like forces of nature at this point, and the government is not going to be able to stop them. So if you can imagine government without the money racket, without the banking racket, and without the drug war racket, you know, then you've got the, you know, foreign interventionism, which also is just, people are not putting up with on the same scale anymore. And without the money to fund it, even that goes away. So I'm On one hand, flabbergasted, but on the other hand, I'm still just very encouraged by the bigger picture here.
Yeah. You know, I actually, seriously, I worry about you. How many times have you been arrested just this year?
Oh, only once this year.
Because I feel like your profile, and I truly do feel that way. You know, I watched the New Mexico, was it arrested last? By Officer Garcia?
Yeah, that was in Texas.
Texas. And then I've it frustrates me so much because I feel like we don't have our freedom to do and say what we want. And you know, I mean, I would bail you out of jail. If you go to jail again, just call me. I'll bail you out. I really will.
It's like, go for me too.
Well, this last time I stayed in jail for 10 days in order to get the bail reduced and to embarrass him. So don't bail me out necessarily. I might want to stay in jail. Sometimes I enjoy it. So, sometimes I have a bigger impact when I'm in jail than, you know, when I'm outside of jail, just to be able to make a point and you know, reveal the criminality of government. I just got to speak with legal counsel this morning and around this latest arrest, because I was able to live stream most of it. We're going to have so many fun lawsuits going after them in Texas that I'm really looking forward to it. I hope it goes to trial.
Fun lawsuits.
They screw that so much procedurally, so many Fourth Amendment violations. Procedural violations. We're really going to have fun with them now. And this is the thing, like what I'm suggesting. Hey, I got falsely arrested in Texas on drug charges. That, you know, the what I'm suggesting in fighting it would not have been possible without the technology of being able to stream live on the internet, you know, live mm-hmm. to Facebook was how I did that one. It wouldn't be possible if I wasn't able to rally supporters through online means. You know, it wouldn't be possible to get this kind of accountability for the criminals in government before the age of the internet. So you see already just being able to do this, to challenge this arrest, to make it more difficult for them to prosecute people is again only possible with exactly where we are today with technology implementation.
Right. And just so you guys know, everybody in the chat room that is watching, go to his website, support Adam. You guys get to know him. He's a great guy. The one thing I have to ask you, because this is like my main question I want to know, is how did you go from a veteran in Iraq, or was it Iraq you were in?
Yes.
Okay. How did you go from 8 years? I believe you did 8 years in the military, from what I read, to completely opposite and wanting to make the government go away. What happened from you didn't bleed enough for your country to this government's got to go?
Well, I mean, I kind of got to take it back again, just to my psychological roots with my parents. First of all, that was a huge thing for me. But like I said, it didn't overcome the propaganda of militarism that led me want to enlist in the Marine Corps. So while I was in the Marines, I was pretty gung ho, but I wasn't, you know, I wasn't dumb about it. I wasn't like, you know, super flag it. You know, I wasn't just, you know, blind obedience to authority. You know, I still maintained a bit of my skepticism during that time, but I'm not, you know, like it took me a lot. And the first thing that was a major turning point for me is that I got a pistol when I was in Iraq as a souvenir, and I brought it home and I had to sneak it, you know, past the military inspections. And you know, I did that successfully, but I got caught with it on campus, which is a whole other long story. But regardless, I was a sergeant and I was ready to go to Iraq. I had civil affairs experience. I had, you know, I spoke Arabic, and I went and talked to my commanding officer when this came up as an issue. And I said, look, we had already been activated again to go back. I was like, I'm ready to go. Do you really want me to sit here at Camp Pendleton? And that's what's going to happen. And I, for a year, you know, as a sergeant managing a barracks and mowing lawns. And I was like, you know, this sucks. And I got demoted from sergeant to corporal the day after they pinned a ribbon on my chest, a Navy Commendation Medal, for my time in Iraq. And I was just like, this is insane. And I guess, you know, I had to experience it for myself. And I think this is true about a lot of people. And partly why the internet is like, oh, really? Your government screwed you over? Oh, me too. Oh, you had a bad experience with the military? Oh, me too. You know, and just there's this overwhelming sense now that government just reduces everybody's quality of life in a huge, significant way. So for me, it was getting out of the military and being disgruntled that led me to join Iraq Veterans Against the War. I mean, I was already against the war, but it was just that attitude that led me to really feel comfortable questioning everything. You know, having that negative experience sort of broke me of my psychological attachment to the system, if you will. And so I moved to DC to get a master's in political management at George Washington University. And while I was there, I guess somewhat at random, I found the website Iraq Veterans Against the War. And I was just like, I have my name on that list. And I signed up and fell over backwards into full-time activism. And it was during that time that I was having these really good conversations with all these other anti-war activists, veterans, and I knew they were good people. I mean, some of them I'm sure were plants, but by and large, they were good people who were, you know, getting arrested alongside me because they wanted to see the war end. They wanted their voices as veterans to be heard. And we had all these other, you know, political conversations. I remember one in particular about education policy. And I was, you know, relatively ignorant in my understanding of libertarianism at that point. I identified as a libertarian in high school first, but I didn't understand what it meant philosophically. It's just, oh, I don't want to be a Republican or Democrat because that's totally lame. Screw that. So it was surrounded by all of these mostly leftist veterans where I was like, well, if we're all here because we want to make the world a better place, there's got to be a better answer to these questions, like education policy, for example. Like, it can't just be as simple as we agree to disagree. I just wasn't content with that. I needed something that was, you know, I needed to win every argument, at least with myself. You know, I needed to win every debate. I needed to know that I had the airtight answers to everything. And that's what led me to the next round of philosophical discovery and reading a lot of books and watching a lot of documentaries. And the final moment for me was in 2009. I was running for Congress in New Mexico as a Ron Paul Republican. And I read Ethics of Liberty by Murray Rothbard. And I didn't actually read the book. I just listened to the audio book. But, you know, you can tell people that you read a book.
Yeah, I agree.
This day and age, right? Yeah, so I tell people when you listen to my audio book, you can tell people that you read it. So I was listening to Ethics of Liberty by Murray Rothbard, driving across the deserts in southern New Mexico, coming back from an event in Texas. And I was like, wow, that really makes sense. That really, you know, leads everything to hold together in a deeper way, in a more consistent worldview. And so it was all of that together that led me to this acceptance of the fundamental truth of libertarianism.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I wish more people would have a, I guess you could call it maybe a revelation like that. I mean, I did too. That's, you know, that's not the same story as you, but it took me to see all the bullshit to become who I am today. And I'm happy that I am who I am.
Fortunately now, instead of having to join the military themselves, thanks to the internet, people can learn from my mistakes. You know, they can learn from the mistakes of others. We are gaining that, you know, social memory much more effectively, and being able to share these experiences is so important. But now it's like everybody, literally every American, has had some really crazy negative experience with the government, either directly themselves or through a close friend or family member. So it's out there. I think they've pissed off too many people at this point.
Yeah. Hey, let's talk about blockchain for a minute, because I don't understand it yet, but I'm learning it. So I think you've actually, like you said, you're no longer posting videos on YouTube. You're now on Steemit. I've applied for Steemit.
Well, I still post to YouTube. I just don't pay any attention to YouTube. And all of my videos that go to YouTube have a little disclaimer on the end that says, YouTube sucks. Get out of here.
Okay. So we are actually. So you're going to go to, we want to go to Steemit as well, just because since we talk about Kratom on one of our shows and our other show, we completely just talk about random shit that bugs people. Way too many F words and everything. They don't monetize us. The only way we make money is through our sponsorships and stuff like that. And I seen you on Steemit talking about Steemit. So I applied, I got approved, and that's as far as I've gotten. But I guess where I get confused is the blockchain. From my understanding, are you getting paid through cryptocurrency through blockchain? Is that how that works?
Yes.
Okay. That simple, I guess. So if I went on there and posted a video, what happens from that point?
Well, because you don't have any following, nobody's going to see it, which is why you have to bring your following over from your old social media presences, or, get some help from some people like myself who have an existence, presence there. And it's one of the things that I've done. And if I may, can kind of make an aside to make a bigger point out of this.
Go ahead.
When people invest in you as an independent media producer or as an activist, as they have it in me so much, then I feel that I have a certain responsibility with those resources to put them towards the best use I can for the cause, not just for me or my own glorification or financial gain, but to use those resources to help other people. I think you need to be really careful about people, and I think a lot of them are probably plants and, people who are just trying to subvert the movement. But the people who are all about me, you look at their social media feed and they're never sharing anybody else's work. They're never helping anybody else out. And so I've made it a point, especially on Steemit, where there's this huge potential for people to make money, to share my platform as much as possible. So anytime someone emails me something, this is for anybody out there who's making content that is in line with the message of freedom or that my audience would support, I want to build your network up on Steemit. So send me an email, adam@thefreedomline.com, with your content. And, maybe as much as once a week, I'll re-steam and upvote something from you. And that'll give you, a really good leg up. So it'll get you exposed to my audience. You'll get a following there right away. But also my upvote right now is worth about, 100, 150 US dollars. So I get to give away money. I want to give away money. I want to help people. And especially on Steemit, I can build the platform at the same time. And it's a great synergistic place for, people who produce independent media to have that platform that's free of the censorship of Facebook and Twitter and all the other mainstream social media. So, did I answer your question about Steemit in there?
Yeah. No, it did. That's awesome.
I think it's a great way to approach it.
Yeah,
for sure.
And like I, just like you have been saying, well, I mean, YouTube is a major corporation, and they don't like us. I guess they don't like our content. We can't get monetized. They demonetized our channel because of issues, I guess. But yet they still throw ads on our channel. So I don't know how they can do that, but they do it. And I'm tired of, YouTube has just kind of sank a hole with me and a lot of people.
We can still take advantage of them, though.
Oh, we still will, but we're going to go
Steemit.
It is
free to us, so.
Yeah, we'll go on Steemit. If you guys don't know, Adam has a ton of videos you guys can go watch. He shows you how to pass a sobriety check. He does an interview with the cowboy, which I thought was awesome. That the cowboy guy with the gun control, that you know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah, that was at the White House when I got arrested last year.
Correct. So it was very entertaining because you told the truth, and he really couldn't say anything against you to prove his point. But you proved you are damn good at proving a point. I will say that you are damn good at it. You're very well spoken.
You're right about everything.
What's that?
I am right about everything, so that does make it easier.
Well, you're very well spoken, and but you did make a good point. And you know, with all these, so I'm a huge person about my Second Amendment rights. I own several assault rifles, and with all the government talk and stuff right now, I truly believe if they were to try to take people's Second Amendment rights away, it would become a disaster. What is your thought on that?
I would look at the kind of like Kratom and the drug war. I don't think they're actually going to be able to do that in the United States, to actually be able to come and take people's guns away. That might be the fantasy of a number of politicians and some of the gun grabbers out there. But there's such a strong gun culture that I don't think they would get away with it. You know, in order to do that, they have to have the support of law enforcement. And generally, while there are a lot of people in law enforcement who think that they're the only ones who should have guns, most of them, you know, and most law enforcement, well, I will say, you know, maybe there's no such thing as a good cop because they're all protecting the system that protects bad cops, and they're all signing up to, to enforce victimless crime laws. But, you know, most of them are somewhat well-intentioned. And a lot of those who are do believe that you have, as a citizen, at least some right to self-defense. And they recognize that when they're not cops anymore, they have to be citizens, and they don't want the experience of the citizen to be so bad that they don't want to go back to it at all. So, I don't think that I see this push. Honestly, I think it's a distraction. If I may step back on the issue of guns again to give a broader perspective here, the libertarian position, and by the way, Dewey, I really hate hearing you say Second Amendment rights. You don't have Second Amendment rights. You have God-given rights. You have inherent human rights. The Second Amendment pretends to protect them. The Bill of Rights pretends to protect your rights. The Bill of Rights was an excuse to impose the Constitution in the first place. So I don't put a lot of stake in the Bill of Rights, and especially in that it lays out your rights as separate, independent things. For example, I don't need a right to own a gun. I have a right to own property, and you have no right to tell me what property I can and cannot own. So I don't have to tell you I have a right to own a gun. I have a right to own private property, and you have a right to respect that, or, you know, you might get shot in the face because you don't know what private property I have. Now, just to be clear, you know, I'm obviously against violence because violence violates freedom, but you also in freedom have the right to defend yourself however you see fit. So when it comes to guns, yes, you absolutely, at least on your own property and in public, have a right to defend yourself however you see fit. But at the same token, you have to respect other people's right to determine the rules on their private property. So if someone says no guns in my business, then you got to respect that. It would be unethical for you to then violate that property owner's wishes and bring guns onto their property. So the libertarian position, the ethical position, is not pro-gun or anti-gun. It's pro private property. It's pro individual rights. And when it comes to guns as a matter of policy, I'm as pro gun as you get. Like I said, I've been to jail for firearm civil disobedience before. But when it comes to what the market is going to demand and provide in the future, I think it's actually somewhat anti-gun. Because, personally, right now, I don't think it's responsible to carry a firearm for self-defense, like to go into a situation where you're expecting to be able to use a firearm for self-defense, if you're not also carrying pepper spray or a taser, that you have some means of escalating force before going to deadly force, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if you're being assaulted, you have the right to defend yourself how you see fit, up to and including deadly force. I don't have a problem with that. But I would have a preference, and I think you would have a preference in that situation as well, that if you could disable someone without causing them damage, that you would be more likely to recover your losses, to be made whole in that situation than if you just killed someone. So, like, let's say you're in a fight and someone starts, you know, punching you in the face, and you have a gun, you draw your gun, you shoot them. Well, their life's over, story's over, you know, that's it. You don't get any compensation. You know, maybe you have a claim to this person's property, but let's say that they were, they had no net worth. Their net worth was zero, and you killed them because they were a threat to you because they were drunk. Mm-hmm. Well, that's fine. You know, it's better than them being able to beat you up and continue to cause damage and possibly killing you. That's better than, you know, people like that being not held accountable in any way and thus incentivizing and encouraging that kind of antisocial behavior. But wouldn't it be better if in that situation you had, say, a Star Trek style phaser and you could point it at their pinky toe and it would disable them, and you could put them in zip ties, and then you could submit them to some dispute resolution organization, say, this guy punched me, I tasered him and zip tied him, and he now owes me $10,000 in damages for punching me in the face. Wouldn't you rather be able to claim damages and preserve the value of that person's life than just kill them? So while I'm very much pro-gun in an absolute private property sense today, and even then, in the future, you want to come over to my place and we go have fun with the shotguns in the backyard and shoot Steve, that's great, we'll do that. But if you could carry a phaser instead of a firearm for self-defense, I wouldn't let you come on my property with a gun on your hip. I would want you to be carrying the phaser on your hip, and that would be my private property preference.
Yeah. I have Brian Ellison coming on the podcast in 1st of April, and I'm sure you've seen his stance on, he's wanting to help the homeless with
the homeless. Yeah, I love it. I was actually sitting in his living room when he made his announcement post about that and helped him formulate the concept to make it a little more pragmatic about how you would you would find candidates for this program and get them in a party bus and take them through a screening and a training and then equip them and do it all orderly and legally and in a safe and responsible way. It's been awesome to see how much attention he's got for that.
Yeah, so I caught a lot of him on it, but to me, the people that are going against Brian are honestly, they're bigots as far as I'm concerned. Because people, what gives a person, okay, here was my justification on it. If the homeless are able to pass a background check, they're able to show that they can handle a firearm safely, what takes away their, why is their freedom so much less than the guy that owns a home? You know what I mean? There's no difference. There's no difference between me and a homeless man, except for I own a home. But if we still have passed the same background check and we can show that we can have firearms, there is no difference. Freedom's supposed to be equal.
Let's be honest here. There's even less of a difference. You don't own a home, right? And even if you are officially recognized by the government as an owner of any kind of property in this country, you're a renter. You're paying property taxes. So, it really is a specious. And I love that you use the word bigot there. Yes, absolutely. It is a form of bigotry to say that you can't have certain rights as a human being because you don't own a home.
Yeah. Yeah, I caught a lot of. Go ahead, Ben.
So my thoughts on it are, is there more of those folks out there that have mental health issues and you want to strap them?
Well, no, I mean, you got to screen for mental health issues, but and it's true that you have a higher incidence of mental illness among the homeless population than among the not homeless population.
So this isn't an all encompassing.
There are plenty of.
This is not strap everybody, people. Right?
Oh, no. This is the program that Brian Ellison is suggesting for arming the homeless would be one that does it in a very responsible, orderly way where people are screened for mental health. They are screened for being legally eligible, okay. All of that stuff.
All right. Yeah. I understand. I'm pretty ignorant to this.
Brian's trying to give these homeless people an opportunity to defend themselves. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, and I am looking forward to having him on the podcast. You guys check out Brian Ellison on Twitter. Check out Adam Kokesh on Twitter. You guys check him out at Freedom Line. Go and support his campaign. I know that I've talked to Ben about it, and we will be promoting Adam all the way through this to the end. We're not getting paid, nothing like that. We support you, and that's our goal, is to continue to support you. So I know I scheduled 1 hour with your PR guy, and we're at that hour, so I don't want to take up any more of your time. But I want to say.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No. I just want to say thank you for coming on. It's always a joy talk. I mean, it's always fun watching your videos. I support what you do 100%. Dirty Deeds Podcast is behind you 100%, and we will do everything we can to get you as much campaign donations and everything else as we can. So.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And if I may, I just want to, I otherwise would love to hang out longer. There is one really big project I want to say that I'm working on And before I do that, I want to say thank you guys for having me on today. Thank you for the opportunity. And as long as you guys are involved, you know, we'll come back and do this again in maybe a few months, maybe after the national convention or right before it. That's a really big deal we got coming up. The Libertarian National Convention for 2018 is in New Orleans the weekend before Independence Day. And the big project that I'm working on right now and raising money for today is the Operation Big Easy Book Bomb. And this is something that I've been working on in different forms for 3 years now. And I'm really excited that it's finally coming to fruition in this beautiful form. But what I'm doing is putting a copy of my book for just 60 cents each in 205,000 residential mailboxes in New Orleans right before the convention. So if there's anybody listening who wants to contribute to that, greatly appreciate that. You can Google Operation Big Easy Book Bomb, and you can find my Steam post or my post from thefreedomline.com about that. We have, this is like the deadline right here tonight. I am scrambling to sell the last few of our remaining sponsorship slots. We've got 14 out of 42 left. So if anybody wants to pony up $3,000, you can get a line of text in this book that's going to be a very special edition and go out to 205,000 homes. So if anybody wants to get involved with that, please email me, adam@thefreedomline.com. And that's three words, thefreedomline.com. Gentlemen, thanks again. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Thank you.
Thank you, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye. Peace and love.
Bye.
Cool dude.
Cool dude. Huh? Yeah. I like the guy. I'm telling you right now, he's got my full support, man. Because I agree with what he's doing. I really do. And just so you guys know, you guys can also download this on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google. We're starting to get a lot of online downloads, which is cool because we've moved some episodes to Patreon only. If you guys missed Dirty Deeds podcast episode 33, I have moved that to Patreon only. And I also put a question on there, and it was basically called Guess What Was Wrong? And you guys need to go on the Patreon. I know you guys have been posting on there finally.
I could get to it from Twitter for free, by the way.
How? Oh, don't be telling them that. Don't be telling them that. I'll pull it off Twitter. I will pull it off Twitter because I Bree told me that earlier.
Yeah, sure.
But anyways, they got to go to Patreon. They got to be Patreon people to support. We can't let free people have that.
Yeah.
But if you guys want to listen to, no, I actually didn't upload that on iTunes.
You know, I listened to it. I thought it was pretty entertaining.
I actually think I'm gonna upload it on iTunes. Yeah, I will.
I thought it was a good one.
I definitely will.
Was wrong.
You can't blame me.
So it was pretty entertaining. If you guys missed that episode, you could totally tell some shit was going on, but we'll leave it at that. But no, I totally support Adam. I appreciate him coming on. If you guys want to really get to know him, go on the Joe Rogan's podcast and watch his episode. In fact, well, we can look it up right now. Because he was on the Joe Rogan podcast, and that's how I really got to know who Adam Kokesh was and what he stood for.
And he's pretty active on Twitter, too.
Sure. He's like the first major celebrity guy that I tweeted to on Twitter that tweeted back to me.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Rogan was tweeting back, and everybody else was tweeting back, and it got cool at that point. So he is super... super active on Twitter.
This is what he was talking about.
Yeah,
book bomb.
Yeah.
I was seeing that. I was wondering, I was going to ask him, but I didn't want to sound stupid if that was a new book. But so he's dropping that book. Did he say 250,000 people?
225,000.
Jesus, man. That's
well, he has 250,000 subscribers on YouTube.
Yeah.
Adam Cope.
But he's just doing that right before the...
So out of the episode 239 experience, episode 239 with Adam Kokesh, that out. Also, you guys, like I said, I made the announcement tonight. Brian Ellison, he is a representative from Michigan. He is running for senator. He wants to give homeless citizens shotguns.
So I was so confused by that when you first told me. I'm like, really? They just want to give them a bunch of guns?
No.
I understand it now.
Exactly.
It's been explained.
But that is, to me, that's bigotry, right? That was my whole thing.
Yeah.
Is what? Just because I'm homeless doesn't mean I don't have the rights.
Mm-hmm.
If I can pass the same background check as you can and a mental test just as much as you can, there's no difference.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So sure. And all he's doing is he's doing a GoFundMe raise account and he's buying 20 shotguns.
Well, the difficulty on that thing, well,
people think, oh, I mean, they're going to go rob people.
You can open carry in most places.
Well, you can open
right?
carry here.
Yeah, you can open carry here. So it would be, but the difficulty is some of these people might not have identification. And
yeah, but I'm saying if they meet all the criteria, there is no difference between them and us. There really isn't. As
they
far
should
as
loosen
I'm
up the bullshit criteria and tighten up the other.
Yeah, and not only that, but we're not only going to give them shotguns, but we're going to give them bullets.
Think about it. If these guys, they got walking legs. You're in Salt Lake, you're probably not going to get to the marsh and be able to get you a duck.
Mm-hmm.
But you're in Utah County, you can get right there.
Yeah.
You can go get yourself dinner.
True.
Think about it like that, too.
Yeah. So, you guys, he's coming on the podcast. So let's, give him a big welcome. He will be coming on, I believe, April 10th, I think, is that show. Also, me and Ben will be doing – we're going to try to stream live if we can get – signal this weekend at the sand dunes. Mm-hmm. We're going to try to do a live stream. I don't know if it's going to happen, but we will try. So you guys try to tune in for that. It's going to be fun.
If not, well, maybe we can put one in the bank or something.
William Fletcher, he keeps telling me, email me. I emailed him and I haven't heard back from him. So William, email me back. Because if not, I've got to set up something else. So email me back as soon. I am going to be emailing.
Dewey's phone number is 801.
I'm going to be emailing Chris Borbell again and seeing where that's going to go. But you guys, I've been hustling and bustling trying to get some bigger names on the show. And obviously, I've got Brian Nelson coming on, which is cool. That's two libertarian candidates that are running for office. It's definitely interesting to talk to politics people because that's not my realm. I'm not into that shit.
I mean, you do only get their perspective and everybody has different opinions, but I like for me, it's so outside of my wheelhouse but I do learn a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and some of it is driven by their personal, opinions and this, that, and the other, but they're also dropping in facts. And so I get to learn a lot from that. So I think it's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. And Adam is I don't know how you wouldn't want to support that. I mean, it's so weird to me because you have conservatives that are all about no taxes. And then you have Democrats that are all about take care of the people, take care of all the people, social care, all this other bullshit, right? Whatever happened to just you believing in whatever the fuck you want to believe in and living the life that you want to live and nobody telling you what to do.
Yeah.
That's how we were supposed to be. Right. And now we have all these rules and regulations. And now Colorado is going to legalize psychedelics, which I think is completely awesome. I'm so for that. You guys have no idea.
We're moving to Colorado.
I used to live there. I'm going back. Yeah. Actually, we might be going back. So that's going to be cool if that happens. Me and Bree want to move back she's never been there, but she wants to move to Colorado. We want to move to Colorado.
And the dirty deeds will only be over the phone at that point.
Well, you just moved to Colorado too.
Yeah. Okay. I'm done.
I love living in Colorado, man. You knew I lived there.
Yeah.
It's just awesome.
I've only spent time in Denver and it was like it is here. I mean, as far as the field, but a lot looser.
That's what I call Denver. Denver is Utah with no mountains on the east side. That's all it is. You got mountains all the way on the west of you, and the east is just flat all the way to Kansas.
So yeah, there's that, and then there's not the...
But there's 6 million people, and there's pot shops, and everybody's really cool, and there's no Mormon churches, and there's beer and liquor stores on every
corner.
Nothing
wrong with Mormon churches, but they're not running the state.
True, they don't tell the state how to operate, which was a big pet peeve of mine here.
Still is
a very big pet peeve of mine. I want to keep talking for a minute, because everybody's enjoying this.
All right.
But yeah, so Colorado was a great place to live. Plus, they had the lottery and all that other bullshit. And I got hooked on that and love playing lottery. But to me, it's insane that they want to make kratom illegal.
Yeah, we've covered.
But you can go get shit-faced drunk.
Mm-hmm.
No issues, So the more I think about it, the more it just irritates me. And the more I think people are just tired of this shit. I really do. I think people are just tired of this shit. And so you're seeing people, you know, move to other avenues. Like California's doing the same thing. They're going to legalize LSD.
LSD?
Well, maybe it's psilocybin. It's one of them.
Okay. It's probably not LSD.
It's in the Associated Press. You guys can read it. They're legalizing a psychedelic over there. I thought it was psilocybin.
It's probably psilocybin.
It might be psilocybin.
So that's mushrooms.
Yeah, that's mushrooms too. But so now you got California and then Colorado. Then who? You know, Nevada. Nevada's going to follow suit. But did you know that Utah legalized marijuana for medical for 6 months to live? It was all over the news today.
Yeah, you mentioned that during this one.
Yeah, so if you get a diagnosis from your doctor that you have less than 6 months to live, they will give you a medical card and you can smoke weed for 6 months.
It's kind of stupid that it's that limited, but it's a
test. It's a test. They said this is just a test. So they're testing it to see how it goes, and then if it goes good, they're going to move it straight to medical all the time. Mm-hmm. You won't have to have that diagnosis. You know, they just want to make sure people ain't driving on stone and shit like that.
Yeah.
And then it'll go to medical, obviously. And then at the end of the day, everybody knows it's going recreational. It has to. You can go to Nevada and get it. You can go to Colorado and get it. I can go to California, Oregon, Washington, Alaska.
They're building a
Hawaii.
Dispensary right on our border.
I know it. And now, dude, you don't think the highway patrol is going to be watching that? You're fucking nuts.
Yeah.
They will be. They are, you guys. Just so I know, it's actually supposed to be the biggest dispensary in Nevada.
Well, because
it supplies everything in Nevada. Not just that.
And Utah.
And you got all of Utah and all of those California.
And it's right there in
Wendover.
We've talked about Wendover a bit, or, you know, eety weety bits, but that's a travel destination for a lot of Utah
folks. Yeah. So a lot of Utah folks go there to gamble because it's an hour and a half away. We can go gamble.
Get the high content beer and then now weed.
Well, in the high content beer thing, it's not really a big
issue.
Well,
I know, yeah.
But yeah, you are right. Yeah, you get stronger beer, you can get weed, and you can get drunk and gamble. So it's just times are changing, man. It's no more this old boy shit.
It's nice.
It's time to go away from this old boy thought process. Mm-hmm. You know,
I mean, I still got the old man traits here in me, but not on like that level.
Like what do you still
get off my lawn, you little son of a bitch? Like that.
Yeah.
Shit. Like, you know, there's that little that like simple shit. But yeah, I think for sure the old guard is changing. It's for sure.
Yeah.
Because there, like Adam was saying about social media and everything, and with the, you know, technology, you're able to actually have a platform that a lot more people could see.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot more of an effect. And,
you know, I worry about Adam. I really do.
You said that, getting arrested?
Yeah, he's getting arrested all the time. But, dude, if you watch his videos, they straight up profile him. They do. He'll be standing there interviewing somebody, not breaking any law whatsoever, and they'll come up and say, "Are you Adam Kokesh?" And he'll be like, "Maybe." And he'll just say, "Maybe." He won't even say yes. And then they'll say, "You have a warrant for your arrest in Maryland." One of the videos does that.
Really?
Yeah. He has a warrant for his arrest in Maryland. So they made sure he was him, and they just arrested him because he was interviewing people in front of Washington, D.C. I mean, what the fuck? You know what I mean? I worry about the guy. I really do.
And it's probably some like minuscule thing. I probably got warrants right now. Nobody's chasing me around.
You think?
Oh, yeah. Tons of them.
Really?
I don't know how, you know.
I think you might have one warrant.
No, I checked.
Oh, you took care of that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I was going to say, I think you might have one.
Yeah.
But that's good. You took care of that. Yeah. You don't want that on your record. But yeah, man, I just, like I said, I worry about the guy, but he's an adult, big boy, you know, he'll do what he's going to do. But he's got my support.
I like what he has to say. I mean, I don't know who's going to come up against him. But
Trump?
Okay, I'm going Trump all the way.
Trump?
How about we do this?
That'll be our
next little contest.
Get Trump on here?
No.
Fake news.
We bet on who wins. No.
Oh, you still owe me from the last contest.
Yeah, I do. Can we wait like 2 weeks?
I don't care.
I got to pay for the trip, man.
Yeah, that's fine. Just so you guys know, Ben owes me a kilo of Kratom.
Yeah, look how yoked this dude is. I don't know. I mean, you actually can kind of see it through the camera.
Yeah.
I'm not going to bullshit. You're a lot you're thicker than the Snickers, as they say. But yeah.
Look at that chest.
I have a hard time believing that there's no pro hormones.
Look at that chest. It's all natural, bitch. All natural.
That's not, that doesn't come through.
And no drugs.
That doesn't come through.
Oh, fuck it. I tried.
Yeah.
I tried. I got to do a shout out to Pam, Denise, Michael Danubio, Cody Douglas, Tim Drivitz. Good show the other day. I wish I could have stayed and watched the whole thing, but I actually watched it the next day. On YouTube, he did a live feed with Christopher's Organic Botanicals.
Oh, cool.
It was really cool. I think it was funny because everybody's like, oh my gosh, that's what Chris looks like. But I've known that for like 2 years because Chris is my friend on Facebook. So Chris is a handsomely young man. Jordan B., what is up? Pam Moeller. Cela, what is up? Kratom Loves Reviews.
Little Light, who's little?
Charity Fools. So Mellow, what is up? You guys, I'm trying to shut you all out just so I don't miss anybody because we appreciate everything you guys do. Josh 406. Did I say Jordan B?
You did.
Okay. I think that's about everybody we got there. At least it's commented. Yeah, what up to all you? Oh, William Fletcher, what's up? I emailed your ass. Email me back. You guys go on the Patreon. There's a link below. Click on that link. Go support us. Get a dollar. We need new computer monitors. We have two computer monitors that we have set up for the new camera changes that we're doing. And finally, the converters show up and I go to plug it in and it doesn't work. And yeah. It doesn't work because the monitors are actually, those are called display ports. I've looked them up, not VGAs. They're called display ports and they're out ports. They're not in ports. And so I went
those
on.
Those are outs?
Those are outs.
Oh, mother.
And I know that because I literally unplugged the HDMI cable from the, I kept it plugged in the camera. I walked over and plugged those right into the monitor. Nothing. I walked over and plugged it into the TV. Poof. Everything's on there.
So if anybody,
I might as well just buy two fucking TVs.
If anybody wants two 22-inch Dell monitors, that
$30 a piece.
Yeah,
$30 a piece.
It might
plus
be
shipping.
Outdated.
Yeah, plus shipping. Anyways, it was kind of bummed us out because me and Ben have spent a lot of fucking money lately, and we can't even use our two other cameras that we have sitting here and our $1,000 audio video switcher with our $500 worth of equipment over here because our monitors don't work. So
yeah, I mean, we could be.
I was just gonna order them, but I'm just like, you know, I need to just steer away for a minute.
Go on vacation.
Wait,
so it's a whole 5 days, dude. That's the longest camping trip I've taken in a long time.
Well, it's four for me, but five for you.
Yeah,
but I'm still excited to go. So
I'm excited because I get one solo.
I want to stream live out there with these guys and show them. And it would, you know, what would be really cool is if we can get a live stream for you guys while we're at the sand dunes. We could film each other riding and hitting dirt bike jumps.
Well, yeah,
you guys can watch us.
You really want to watch me do that?
You guys can watch us ride. I think why not?
I don't go very hard.
Fuck it.
Oh, I'm getting my paddle put on right now.
I already got my paddle on, bitch.
Yeah, I pick it up tomorrow.
Yeah.
So all I got to do tomorrow is grocery shopping, throw that paddle on, bike in the truck, and wham.
Oh, you gotta go firewood.
Actually,
firewood.
Going to see a lady tomorrow, too.
Yeah. Ben.
Shut the fuck up.
No, we got to talk about that.
Okay.
Ben has... well, not Ben. I shouldn't say Ben, but girls have a thing for Ben, and they happen to be African-American ladies.
That's only happened two times in a row.
Three?
Well, I get a lot of hits.
It was three. Now, we want to ask you guys in the chat room, why do you think black women like Ben?
Well, okay.
No white girls, just black chicks.
Spit it out, bitch. The white ones, yeah, that is the next t-shirt. It's coming up. Don't worry. I do get a little bit of attention like on the social media sites from African American girls. But
yeah, I look,
they're from Utah.
I look big in the camera now.
You look a little bigger. Yeah, you do. See that? Huh?
How I look.
Do you know how fucking douchey you look when you do that?
Does it look douchey though? Look at them goddamn guns.
No, not that you're rocking guns. It's that you're doing that.
I know. I just want to look, see what it looks. I've never done that camera. Pumped.
Okay, I should have showed you. Okay,
never done that on camera. That was very fucking douchey. That was really douchey, but I still thought it was funny.
But yeah. But I do get a little bit of attention from
you guys. We're gonna make a T-shirt. Literally, band. Our next shirt's gonna say "Spit it out, bitch."
It will.
It really will. So
if and you guys, on the back, it'll go da da da.
Are you? Yeah. Oh, dude, that is such a good idea. And then we'll have the Dirty Deeds podcast logo on
like
it
right here, so or you, like right here.
You gonna get something. That set up then?
Yeah, I want to draw it up.
You guys,
I hand draw it.
How many of you guys are interested in buying a shirt that says "Spit it out, bitch," and on the back it says "da da da da"?
We can even censor it and do an asterisk for the eye or something.
Yeah, and the reason we ask this is because me and Ben are gonna drop about $500 and do a bulk order of some shirts.
Yeah, but so, we want some more product. I mean, I really like the original, but. That we need.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's not going away. That's there's, you know, honestly, it's funny because about 10 people in this chat room own that shirt.
Yeah.
I sent a lot of those shirts out.
Well, Patreon guys. Yeah. Those people for sure.
Oh, should we do that again? I'm going to do that again. Here's the thing. I'm going to throw this offer out to you guys. You guys got to remember, we don't make the reason why we're going to be buying bulk shirts is because we just don't make a lot of money on t-shirts. Literally, it's like $6 because shipping kills us and we don't buy in bulk. So our prices are higher. But here's the deal. If you make a $50 donation to our GoFundMe account or our Patreon, you pledge 50, I'll send you a shirt. Once I get the notification that you made the pledge and it's gone through, email me, say, hey, I just made a pledge or I made a GoFundMe donation. Email me. I will be able to verify, and in email, I will get your address and your size and I will send you a shirt. And you tell me what shirt you want and I'll have Ben work on the new shirt because he's working on the website now.
Yep.
The website's going to, if you guys don't know, you guys can go to dirtydeedsproductions.com and check out the website. Ben's working on it. We're going to pretty soon have merchandise on there. We're trying to figure out how we want to sell the merch and all this other stuff. But if you guys make a donation in those amounts, send me an email. Hey, I just donated 50. I'm sending you a shirt.
Cool.
I think that's cool. Yeah. That's what we did last time.
Yeah.
And if you did a $100 donation, in which we had two of them, Trixie did that. If you do a $100 donation, we actually send you a t-shirt and a hoodie, a nice soft hoodie like the Under Armour ones.
Mm-hmm.
We send you a hoodie t-shirt too. Trixie and somebody else did that last time. So we sent them. I mean, it's like we sent them like $60 for the shit. So, you know, but we are getting that money. And I miss her. I haven't seen her in a long time.
I mean,
you guys.
She was in love with me, wasn't she?
What happened to Trixie? You guys know what happened to Trixie? Because I don't ever see her anymore.
She had a crush on me, I think.
She was a sweetheart.
Yeah.
She just disappeared, though. Really weird. She's a big supporter of the show. Also, Jim Bob, I play your shit all the time, man. I hope you're still kicking.
I think he hit us up on one of the last ones.
I didn't even see him.
Well, I mean, you kind of get pretty focused on your chit chat, so
yeah.
You're not looking. I mean, and when the chat room's moving,
we need to do flat bill hats too.
Yeah,
yeah. We need to get our merch going. We got trademarked for fuck's sake. We might as well start getting our merch.
Dude, that logo would look dope on a hat.
Oh yeah, it would look way dope.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You guys are. Totally going off of this seems like the extreme band thing. Black girls are beautiful. Hey man, I have no problem with black girls whatsoever, but I'm an engaged man. So Ben, he's the only one that's free to sling some dick.
Yeah. So he pushes me to go hard.
I do. And you thanked me for it. Thanked me for it.
Yeah, I love them. I love the
he was all nervous. He's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
No, I still am pretty apprehensive.
And I said, just throw the meat in it.
Just chuck it around.
Just chuck that meat in.
Swing it as hard as you can. Whatever it hits.
Yeah. And that's what happened. It's funny, too, because I think half of our subscribers hate when we get dirty.
Oh, I think so. But that's when we start getting the thumbs down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what really is crazy, though, is somebody gave me a thumbs down on the Dear Herman interview. 70 likes and one dislike. Who the hell?
Well,
how could you have hated that interview? I was professional.
Well, I think
it ain't licensed, but it was professional.
It was, I liked it. It was
a lot of hits on me, that.
Yeah.
You seen all the hits?
Super informative, man.
Got a lot of hits on that.
Yeah, that dude, I like the fact that he wasn't afraid to just put it out there.
No.
Whatever you wanted to ask him, he was like, okay, yeah.
I'm just looking right now. That the day that we launched that, we gained 35 subscribers since then.
Cool.
Which is a lot. Which is cool. I'm stoked about that. So yeah, I think this interview tonight was really good.
I think so. He's pretty awesome and really
very fucking intelligent.
Yeah. I need to, because admittedly I don't know a whole lot about him. I was here to learn a little bit and I feel like I did. So that was cool, but I need to get on his YouTube and see a little bit more. And then what was the other one? It's
Steam it.
Yeah, I got to get on there.
Yeah.
Horrible name, by the way.
Yeah. See, here's the thing. The simplest form of being a libertarian is basically that everyone has the right to, you know, live their life as they see fit. What's wrong with that? How do you say that's bad?
I mean,
at its core, right?
And I think a lot of people feel that way, but they are married to their teams.
Here's the problem, though. The FDA is intrusive for what we can and can't do. Why does the FDA intrude on my freedoms?
And who's running the FDA? Is that a libertarian or a Democrat or a Republican?
Exactly.
It's probably not a libertarian.
It's not a libertarian.
Yeah. So their opinions are you and me, you know.
You're right. Thank you.
Oh, cool.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, buddy. Eat my buddy. Yeah, man. Just the FDA. Fuck the FDA, man. Really, fuck them. You know. Here's the thing.
I would
never say who I work for or nothing like that because I'm just not going to go that route. But. Uh-huh. I get drug tested, period. I don't do illegal substances. And I still have this stance that the FDA does not have the right to tell me what I can and can't do. I am a person that is living my personal life. This is my life. This ain't their life. This is mine.
Yeah, like if you go into a privatized situation, so something like, say, the corporate world.
They have the right to drug test.
Yes.
And I follow protocol.
Yeah.
You could drug test me tomorrow. I'm fine with that. I don't care.
But you can't be.
But I still think I have this. I still have the right to say what I say.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I still have the right to do that stuff if I wanted to. I don't because I work for a corporate entity. But I still have that right.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I guess Adam doesn't like saying the right. Yeah. He was for real. Like, he's like, you have the, you know, he said, how do you say it?
Oh, God damn it.
I don't remember. But anyways, that guy's been raided. They raided his house when he did the shotgun thing. You know, they had more people. He said they had more people raid his house than they did when they went and got Osama bin Laden.
Well, they probably weren't a bunch of experts, though.
Which is funny, because I'm sure. Well, I don't know if he has felonies or not. I don't want to say if he does or he doesn't, because I don't know. But he's running for president, so I'm wondering if there's like stipulations on that. Like, if you have felonies, can you run for president?
You know,
is there a stipulation?
You know, I've thought about this a little bit.
I'm gonna look it up
with the fact that he's building this like profile. Where he's kind of a button pusher, or at least a little bit. Like, I know it's,
oh, there's no doubt in my mind he pushes buttons.
It's good for the way the world's working now with like social media and, you know, viral shit and all that.
It says no person constitutionally ineligible to the office of president shall be eligible to that of vice president or United States. Constitution is sole source of eligibility for president of the United States and does not preclude felons. That means he can run.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can run.
But
cool.
I wonder how much of that's like a part of his tactics. Because I mean, because he's clearly in some
well, and that's why I had asked the question: what flopped him? Right? I mean, you're talking about a veteran. To me, a hero, because I love our military. Always will, always have, always will, right? I respect our military. I wanted to go in the service. I didn't, but I wanted to. I broke my back, and so I didn't. But I wanted to be a Marine.
And I got my nuts cut off.
I really wanted to be a Marine, right? I mean, my grandpa was a Marine. Randy, you know that. He was a Marine. I have service members in my family. So it was a big deal for me. Obviously, I didn't go, so I got nothing but respect. But for him to go, okay, because honestly, the first years he was there, he told it started on the Joe Rogan podcast. He said, I went on my tour, I came back, and I didn't feel like I bled enough for my country. He wanted a Purple Heart, so he went back, right?
Mm-hmm.
He went from going back to, I fucking hate the government.
Yeah, that is that's probably pretty uncommon for a vet.
You obviously the veterans against what do you call it, veterans against war or whatever that he does, you know?
I'm not sure.
That's a there's a lot of people in that motherfucker.
Is there?
Yeah, it's not a small organization, it's big. So, and I'm not talking bad about military or nothing, just so you guys, I'm not against the military. I'm just putting it in perspective for Adam, you know, and saying it's a big organization. So, but I support him. I hope you guys support him. I really do. Go to Freedom Line, check him out, donate, follow me and Ben on Twitter. Go to Patreon. Make sure you guys donate. Like I said, if you do the $50 donation, I will be sending you a shirt, but you have to email me so I have your address. I won't know otherwise. So email me. I'll verify the donation and I will send you the shirt. I just need your size. We'll send you the original soft t-shirt. Actually, the original, because we do it in the soft cloth now. I like the soft cloth better. And then, like I said, if you do 100, we'll do the hoodie plus the shirt. And then Ben will be designing the new shirt that will say, spit it out, bitch. And da, da, da,
have
da.
A bunch of dicks on it.
And we have one other design t-shirt that I could send you if you are interested. The only person that has it so far in the YouTube community is Jim Bob.
Is that the Do You Even Podcast, bro?
No. Oh, I have that shirt too. Yeah, we have another one that says, Do You Even Podcast, bro? Yeah. But no, it's the one in orange that says Dirty Deeds. It's in orange. And it's dope. I'll show it to you.
Maybe I didn't even see
that. Jim Bob is the only one that has it. And I did it. I sent it to him because he made that song for us. So
that's cool.
Yeah. But I'm gonna hang this up, you guys. Yeah. Got to get going. So thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you guys tune in this weekend for a live stream at the podcast. We may be drunk. We may be.
Well, not while we're riding our motorcycle.
No. Not while riding motorcycles. That's true. But we may be drunk at the campfire. And I don't ever drink, so when I drink, I get drunk.
You get drunk.
I'm getting really drunk. Oh, yeah.
Well.
Oh, maybe I'll take some cream and then I'll die.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear if you mix those two.
You're going to die. Fuck.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. Support us.
Oh, yeah.
What? Say it. You got something to say?
No. Because I don't even know what we're going to do out there yet. So we'll go do that and we can talk about it.
We need... drum roll. The new podcast is called The Nitty Gritty.
No affiliation
whatsoever. Yeah. So The Nitty Gritty will be streaming. I will put a new episode up as soon as I get back from camping.
Dude, I'm excited.
William Fletcher, make sure you email me back. We can see if we can schedule for this Tuesday. You guys check in Tuesday for a new creative testimonial from Mr. William Fletcher. I'll talk to you guys later.
Yeah, peace out, y'all.
Peace out, y'all.